Vishyam. Kamam.
Lust.
Dambham. Pride. Cha. Devesham. Envy. Loham.
Greed.
Agham. Sinful activity. Magam. Vanity. Apramatta. Same. Yudhyata. Laboring diligently. Nityam. Always. Teji Adasaman. A very powerful husband. Atosayat. She pleased. Translation. Working sanely and diligently, she pleased her very powerful husband, giving up all lust, pride, envy, greed, sinful activities, and vanity. Translation responsibly. Working sanely and diligently. She pleased her very powerful husband. Giving up all lust. Pride, envy, and greed.
Simple activities and vanity.
Support by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Here are some of the qualities of a great husband's great wife. Karadama Muni is great by spiritual qualification. Such a husband is called Teji Yamsam, very most powerful. Although a wife may be equal to her husband in advancement in spiritual consciousness, she should not be vainly proud. Sometimes it happens that the wife comes from a very rich family, as did Devahuti, the daughter of the Emperor Swayambhuva Manu. She could have been very proud of her parentage, but that is forbidden. The wife should not be proud of her parental position. She must always be submissive to the husband and must give up all vanity. As soon as the wife becomes proud of her parentage, her pride creates great misunderstanding between the husband and wife, and their spiritual natural life is ruined. Devahuti was very careful about that, and therefore it is said here that she gave up pride completely. Devahuti was not unfaithful. The most sinful activity for a wife is to accept another husband or another lover. Chanaka Pandit has described four kinds of enemies at home. If the father is in debt, he is considered to be an enemy. If a mother has selected another husband in the presence of her grown-up children, she is considered to be an enemy. If a wife does not live well with her husband, but deals very roughly, then she is an enemy. And if a son is a fool, he is also an enemy. In family life, father, mother, wife, and children are assets. But if the wife or the mother accepts another husband in the presence of her husband or son, then according to Vedic civilization, she is considered an enemy. A chaste and faithful woman must not practice adultery. That is a greatly sinful act. Om Gana Timiram Dasyagana Timasamakya Chakshuramitamyena Tasmai Shri Gurume Nama Vanchakalpa Drubya Sarkripa Sindhu Erhitra Pavana Yoga Vaishnavi Bhimono Nama Nama Om Vishnubhanaya Krishna Pasaya Bhutareshmani Bhaktivana Tasmami Dinamne Namaste Sarvati Devam Govanani Uchkarime Vizachishunyavari Kvashtana Vachitharine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a section which sometimes can be a bit controversial within the Western context, all about the wife being submissive, submission, and the role of women, and so on and so forth. And luckily my wife is not here today, but she will approve of me. Women in Vedic time were considered very highly, really very, very highly indeed. Oh, good. I'm glad that we've got the recording today because there's a couple of things that I want to announce also to the broader community. So bear with me. Is it on?
Just hold on.
Okay. So basically, it's this whole point about Vedic womanhood, you know, and what is the status of a woman within Vedic society, and is that relevant in today's society? So I just want to draw on something that happened to me during the week. It was really interesting, actually. I was asked by an Indian gentleman who lived out near Geelong area to actually visit his mother. This was an elderly lady, she's about 72, 73 or something, who's dying of cancer. And he had tried very hard to actually find a Hindu priest, someone that would help her at this last part of her life. Couldn't find anyone. So he rang due to the hospital, said, are there any chaplains, any Hindu chaplains at all? And, they said, well, there's Bhaktivedanta from the Hare Krishna movement, you know, and so he got in contact with me. Now, everybody knows how far Geelong is and Ocean Grove and all that kind of stuff, and at the moment I have a lot of work working with the... is that okay? That's all right. Working with the whole organisation for the 50th anniversary, and there's a lot of things going on. We're having to run some seminars for an ILS leadership program in Bali. So anyway, when this phone call came, the first reaction was, oh God, do I have to? Because you know, it's like a 2-hour drive to Ocean Grove and then back again. So anyway, I said, yes, I'll be there, I'll come. So the point that I'm trying to make was that at least this boy had some inkling of Vedic duty. Her husband had passed away already, and so she was there, and he came from Sydney to be with her. Now, she was in the hospital, in the Geelong hospital, and she wasn't being looked after. Well, they tried to the best of their abilities, but you know, she's a vegetarian. She doesn't even belong to the Vaishnava Sampradaya. She's a Shaivite. But, you know, they couldn't provide her with vegetarian meals. And the poor woman was really in distress. Right? So the son came from Sydney, gave up his work and everything, and moved her back into the house and was looking after her as her carer. Now, her whole body was collapsing. Everything. Not only did she have cancer throughout her body, her liver had broken down. She had swelling of the stomach, and she couldn't move. Her legs were swelling. She was just sitting in a chair, and the son was looking after her. You know, so she had other sons as well, and they weren't interested. They came to visit for 10 minutes or something, and they would leave. So you know, the obligation of the elder son to look after Ma at the time of her leaving the body. So he took on this responsibility, which was really commendable. But he realized that at this point of time, she really needs spiritual connection as well. And so he got in contact with me, and I went there. Again, I have to say, in all honesty, I was really a little apprehensive about going. It's a long way to go. But I went. And the point that I'm trying to make was, and I had an opportunity to present Krishna consciousness to her. And even though she was a Shaivite, she was, you know, very much in love with Lord Shiva, who's the greatest of devotees. I was able to console her, I was able to pray with her. She was so thankful that someone had come for her spiritually. And it enthused her, and I'm trying to arrange for some other devotees to go and see her and bring her some prasadam and so on and so forth. The thing that it did, although it was beneficial for her in the sense that the devotee came to see her, it was more beneficial for me. Because at the present stage, I'm reading in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 29, that conversation between Narad Muni and King Prachadabharani. So there is that whole explanation of how the body is just the gateway of hellish conditions and all the nine gates and the whole thing, right? So here was a practical example for me. Krishna makes that arrangement for you, you know, that here is a practical example. Bhakta, have a look. This is what your body eventually will end up like, you know. So Krishna makes that arrangement. You know, it allows one the opportunity to realize exactly what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching. But you have to extend yourself to actually go out and reach out to people before that becomes a realization. Book learning is one thing, but we really also have to make the endeavor to actually outreach to people. So even though it was uncomfortable for me, or even though it was like a long journey, the benefit that I got from meeting this lady was so thankful. Thank you so much for coming. I said, no, madam, thank you for calling me, because this has made such a difference to me, and it's made me realize. You know, because we understand from the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, you know, all places in this material world are misery. You know, and we have to really just focus our attention that the material world is not a very pleasant place. You know, it's just, we have to make an endeavor to get the hell out of here, you know. From the highest land to the lowest land, it's just misery. So that was a real realization. So it's relevant in this context where, on a practical level, I could still see that Vedic culture was being implemented in regards to women, in regards to the obligations of family to their women folk. So this translation, the translation here was working sanely and diligently. This is for chapter Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, chapter 23, text 3. The translation was working sanely and diligently. She pleased her very powerful husband, giving up all lust, pride, envy, greed, simple activities, and vanity. So it's a question of giving all this up for her husband. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in this report that the chaste and faithful woman must not practice adultery. So this same can be said for men. Exactly the same can be said for men. And when you actually analyze today's society, more men are guilty of adultery than women are. But that is the situation. So one has to be faithful. Faithful, and one has to be working to the best of their ability to keep harmony within a marriage. One's focus in marriage should be for one another. The man should be concerned for the wife, and the wife should be concerned in the same way for her husband. And all of both should come together for the purpose of serving the Supreme Lord. That's what it's all about. So often it's mentioned that a marriage is actually a threesome. There's the Supreme, and then there's the husband and wife. So my spiritual master, Hridayananda Maharaj, often states that when a couple go to bed at night time, they say, good night, Devi, good night, Prabhu, good night, Krishna. Krishna is always part of the marital home. So this is very important. In Krishna consciousness household, all members must strive for a harmonious and peaceful existence. And this is mentioned here in this purport, this point about submission. Whoa, that's the word of today, submission. Everybody is so incredibly uptight about submission. I will not submit. I am an individual. I am, you know. So here we can see that Devahuti actually gave up her lust. It says here that working sanely, so she was really thinking things through, she didn't act on emotions. She was giving up lust, pride, envy, greed, simple activities, and vanity. Submission. All of us have to submit to something. Right? All of us have to submit. And we have to understand that we're not these material bodies, and we're a spirit soul. And we are designated in a particular body due to our karma and our desires. And in a particular lifetime, you may take a woman's body, or you may take a man's body, or you may take, Prabhupada says you can take either a woman's body, a man's body, or a eunuch's body, or an animal body. But we've all been in different bodies. But the point of it is that somehow or another we have to submit. So the materialist submits to the three modes of material nature, and the workings of material nature submits to material energy, and a devotee also submits to a higher authority, to a spiritual guide, a spiritual directive. One has to surrender to Guru. So irrespective, I was reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there's a really nice section, loosely blessed by Bengali. Krishna Das Kaviraj Maharaj says, Tate Krishna Vaje Kare Gudarai Sevana Maya Jale Jute Paya Krishnara Chanala. Krishna consciousness is best performed under the guidance of the spiritual master. Now, some people have this concept that the only person that I will submit to is my spiritual master. He's the only one I fall at his feet and I'll do anything he says. You have more than one spiritual master. You have spiritual masters, you have teachers in every walk of life. Even you can learn from a dog, from a cow, from a dyad, anyone you can learn. And that's the understanding that there are so many gurus. But within our society in particular, you have a lot of different leaders and gurus. They're all your spiritual masters. They're all your spiritual teachers. It's actually understood that within Krishna consciousness, that anybody that has taken initiation of Srila Prabhupada or Sri Krishna through the Parampara system, anyone who's taken initiation before you is your spiritual teacher. And you have to be submissive to that person. Can you grasp that in today's society? You know, so your older god brother or sister is actually also your spiritual teacher. And you have to be submissive to them. Samely, normally, without envy, without lust, without ego. So in this sense, if we work in this level of submission, in humility, developing humility, all will go well for the society. All will go well, as it does within the family. So someone has to take the lead within the family, and generally speaking, it is the husband. So that is being espoused here. So it says here that in Krishna consciousness, household members must strive for harmonious peace. In this section of the Bhagavatam, there is a great emphasis on the role of women. So let's talk a little bit about that. The role of women. In civilized society, in civility, along with moral and spiritual standards in the society, they can often be perceived by respect, you know, the actual moral standards and civility of a particular society can be perceived by how that society or that organization or that community respects women. It can be perceived how that is. Not that it glorifies their sexuality as it does in the material world, but it gives them the freedom they want, not to be exploited, but to be actually regarded in a way that allows them to live in honor for their importance in society with respect and protection, and given the opportunity to reach their real potential in life. So every one of us has an opportunity to reach a full potential in life. The Vedic tradition has held a high regard for the qualities of women. Through our scriptures, we see that actually women are highly regarded within our scriptures. These are, like say for example, the goddess of fortune is Lakshmi, female. The goddess of learning, Saraswati. Lady Subhadra. On the altar here, we're worshipping Lady Subhadra, the sister of Krishna. Durga, the goddess of strength and power. That's the lady. Kali, the power of time. Bhumi, the earth planet. All ladies, all female entities. And the Vedic goddesses that exemplify inner strength and attributes. There's so many. Even the fact that we have the divine power of Shakti, that's a female power, a female directive. So this is an important point within the Vedic context, that the female aspect is so important. And throughout many years of Vedic culture, women have always been given the highest level of respect but also protection and safety, because physiologically they are the weaker sex and generally need protection and sort of guidance. And that was exemplified by what this young man had taken on, understanding that his mother needed protection, and he was following that through. There is a Vedic saying, actually, when I researched it, there's a Vedic saying, where women are worshipped, the gods dwell. Where women are worshipped, the gods dwell. And a section also from the Mama Samhita, which I read out, women must be honored and adored by their fathers, brothers, husbands, and brothers-in-law who desire their own welfare. So it's for your own welfare that you honor ladies. Where women are honored, there the gods are pleased, but where they are not honored, no sacred rite will yield rewards. Where the female relation live in grief, the family soon wholly perishes. But the family where there are not, that family where they are not unhappy ever prospers. The houses on which female relations, not being duly honored, pronounce a curse, perish completely, as if destroyed by magic. Hence men who seek their own welfare should always honor women on holy days and festivals with gifts, ornaments, clothes, and food. This is the Mana Samhita. So you can read this to your husbands?
Yes.
Okay. Any festival on there? Only gold and jewellery. This honour towards women should be maintained today for the preservation of genuine Vedic culture. So this is genuine Vedic culture. And this is the culture that Srila Prabhupada has brought to the Western world. This is an amazing thing. Srila Prabhupada was so generous in giving us this information. It's our duty to present this knowledge and not just know it. And this is the point that I wanted to make again. It is, in today's society, gradually women are perceived less and less and less divine. They're all objects of sense gratification. They use the form of a woman to sell all sorts of things as far as advertising is concerned. You know, advertisers, if you ever read anything about advertising, if you want to sell something, put a naked woman next to the product you sell and you'll sell it. This is exploitation. Exploitation is going on all the time. In movies, you know, in a movie, basically, if you want to have a successful movie, there has to be a scene where a woman is being exploited, a sexual scene. So this is the nature of today's society. This is actually Rakshasic, demoniac. And we're living in a demoniac society. There's no two ways about it. We have to understand that. And this has a cultural influence on people in our society today. And as materialism expands, this is just more and more going to be the way of society. Whereas men have greater physical energy than women, generally that's the case, men are stronger. The latter, ladies, clearly have more internal and emotional energy. Internal and emotional energy. They are more intuitive and can express emotions more. Like, say, for example, in a material setting, you have leaders in the world that are ladies. Currently, we have Hillary Clinton, who's going up as the President of the United States, first time ever. You have a Prime Minister or President in Germany, Angela Merkel, who is, by all accounts, a very, very good leader, very well led. But what is she known for? She is known for her compassion. She's known for her, heartfelt feelings towards individuals. So she has allowed a million refugees to enter Germany. Now, the hard-hearted men of the world said, "How can you do that?" But she has been like that. So this is the way it is going in society. There is an improvement. Women are slowly becoming more recognised. But men are stronger. So it's not without reason that women are identified as the Shakti in Vedic tradition. So they're the power. There's the power behind the throne, so to speak. So if women are kept suppressed, if we suppress women, This Shakti will be denied to the family, to the society, weakening them all. So if we allow women the process of actually developing to the full extent, then that Shakti will be there. In real Vedic culture, it is taught that every man should view and respect every woman, except his own wife, in the sense that they should see the woman as mother. And they should see, this is from Vedic point of view, they should see every small young girl as their daughter. So this is the genuine way of training people. Prabhupada brought this understanding, you know, that if a man sees another lady, that they call that lady Mataji, Mataji being mother. You can also, in the same token, and Prabhupada did this in many cases also, more than that, you can also call a female devotee Prabhu. Because Prabhu is not gender specific. It is not male or female. And Prabhu means master. So if someone is actually, if you're learning something from that person, they're also Prabhu. So Mataji or Prabhu, it's again a question of respect. It's because of lack of knowledge, lack of training, that these things have been forgotten and respect for women has been reduced. So society, we can understand, is really eager for more knowledge. If you're dealing in the interfaith, as a couple of us are, we understand that actually there's a real search for real knowledge, a real thirst for finding out the real meaning behind all the different religions. Rasamandala Prabhu and I were recently allowed to give a presentation to a large contingent of interfaith people that came here to the temple. And they were just really in awe of the philosophy and the teachings. And we find that time and time again when you're teaching people. And when you go out and present Krishna consciousness to people, you'd be surprised how much people actually really appreciate finding out real knowledge, you know. And this is our duty. This is, you know, we can say that actually we're a family. Krishna consciousness is one big family. This is our family business to actually present this. So when the position of women's decline, then the society loses its equilibrium and balance. You have to understand that everyone is a spirit soul. We're all spirit souls. We're part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and we're not these material bodies. We're actually sons and daughters of Krishna. So it doesn't make any difference. It's not whether one is superior to the other or less to the other. Spiritually speaking, we're all on the same platform. So men should not try to control women by force. This is a big thing in society today. We talked about that before, family violence. You know, men should not try to force women, control women by force, but neither should women try to seize power by becoming too masculine in their own way. So you notice on the notice board we now have a board or a domestic violence structure within ISKCON. So if there is unnecessary violence within the family, you now have a point of reference that you can actually seek solace from that organization, from that committee that was adopted recently. And also there is also a female representative nowadays, because again at the last zonal council it was decided that there has to be a female representative in every temple, and there is a voice, a representation of a lady on the zonal council as well, who's a women's representative. That's Krishna Rupa. So if any lady has an issue, they can go to her and discuss it. And if anybody here personally, the ladies have any issue, you can go to Achintyarupa, who is the women's representative for ladies here in this temple. So men shouldn't try to control women by force, and similarly women shouldn't be too seize the power of a masculine sort of situation, if possible. I mean, of course, there are exemptions. Some men naturally have more feminist sort of leanings, and some women have more masculine sort of leanings in a natural sort of way. Even in our house, although I'm a 6'5" guy, you know, I do the cooking at home. which is technically supposed to be the lady's duty, you know. Oh, Prabhu, come home and you have a nice thali ready or something like that, you know. But I'm the one that cooks. Not that Bhakti isn't a good cook, but I like cooking. So that's a feminine side of me that I like. And so that's... But then on the other side, Bhakti is very good in, you know, organizational things. She should have been an engineer or something, you know. And, you know, technical things as far as the computer is concerned. Like, you know, she's just got a brain for that. Which, in a sense, sometimes is considered more of a male sort of thing. And when I hit the computer and make some blunder, you know, Bhakti, what have you done now? You know, and I have to come and fix it. So, but there's a balance. It's all a question of balance. You know, there's the analogy that's given. You've got a car, right? And if the air in the tyres are not of the same level, then the car is not balanced and you get a rocky ride, right? So the whole idea is that you have the proper inflated tyres so you have a balance. So everything in life is one of balance. And so this cooperation between men and women in marriage is a question of balance. We don't force anything, we work together. After all, how can there be a spirit of cooperation and appreciation between men and women when instead there is a mood of competition or disrespect towards one another, whether the man disrespects the wife or the wife disrespects the husband? There has to be a level of respect. And it's a level of submission. Not only does the woman submit to her husband, but the husband also submits to the wife. It's just a question of giving like that. In this mode, in material society, that increases in both family and corporate life, contributes to social imbalance. So this mood of competition in material life constitutes social imbalance and for a not peaceful society. So sometimes in society, when there is this struggle for competition, you know, women are trying to be the CEOs and leaders of occupational things, that's fine. You have every opportunity, if you have the skills to be able to do it, do it. But then in the same token, when there's that constant competition and then that doesn't lead to a wholesome environment to live in. Examples in Vedic history have shown that all women should be respected and honoured for the potential and talent that they can provide. To keep the family together, as well as bear and raise children, this is something that women have got over us, over men. They can raise and develop these incredible little children. But also for many women who take up the cause to preserve and protect and carry on the spiritual standards found in Vedic culture. So this is something that I wanted to mention. Women are very much inclined towards spirituality, more so, in fact, than men, most of the time. If we analyse how many women are in Krishna consciousness, how many men, you'll probably see it's about equal. But in other religious traditions, women are far more inclined towards spirituality than men are. And women also see the point of spirituality more than men. So the women, by maintaining a good spirituality, can actually be a great impetus for the male to keep on track. You know, and they advocate the spiritual practices. So I remember when we took first initiation back in 1979, our spiritual master said, so his name is Bhakta, and your name is Bhakti. So as he's serving the Supreme, you are serving him. But he turned around and he said that if he's not serving, then you become like a tiger and get him back on track. So that was the instruction from our spiritual master at that time of initiation. So this is the thing. We have to actually work together. And generally we rely on the ladies to actually keep us on track. Men can get incredibly engrossed in their work, in the news of the day, so many different things are going on, and you come back from the office or from your work, you need that woman's influence to get you back. Prabhu, we should read a little bit of Bhagavatam, or maybe we should sit down and chant our rounds. Have you finished your rounds for the day? And to keep you on the straight and narrow. So this is the role also of the women. We should not discriminate and think that women have less to offer. Sometimes there's that understanding women are lesser. It's absolutely not the case. It's not one sex that will determine one's strength. It's not sex that will determine one's strength. character to help champion the Vedic cause or the Krishna conscious cause, women should be ready to take the lead. So this is something that I've been battling with since I've been a devotee. For women to actually stand up and be counted and be part of the whole process of Krishna consciousness. We're seeing more and more now that ladies are giving class. Vimala Leela gives fantastic classes. Swarup Shakti gives classes. Mataji gives an incredible... I mean, as far as Shastra is concerned, Mataji is just brilliant. And so, you know, we're getting there. Women are becoming more involved. We also need, and this was pointed out at the Zonal Council as well, we need women to also stand up and lead kirtans. Do guru puja. Doesn't have to be the guys all the time. And some of the men should actually take it upon themselves to say, Prabhu Mataji, would you like to lead the kirtan today? Or would you like to do the arti for Srila Prabhupada? We have to do that. We have to share that responsibility. We have to share that that great honour to be able to do that. So nothing is left out. But sometimes it seems that I've often asked ladies, you know, could you lead the kirtan? Go, oh, no. So we have to be a little bit forthcoming. In this world we need people to help in all areas and on all levels of life to protect the Vedic knowledge and traditions, and women have a very important part to play. There was a time, and in fact they're usually the first inspiration and the first teachers of our children, so we have our children, and it's mums and mums that actually bring in Krishna consciousness in their lives. You know, that behind every man is a good woman, that's that saying. So we have to have that in mind, behind so many different powerful personalities. We've got a very powerful personality here as the temple president. He's been the temple president for a long time. Do you think he would have been temple president if he didn't have a Chincharupa behind him? A Chincharupa is such a powerhouse, such a strong lady. And we see it in so many different ways also, you know, with Ajita, with Prabhudas, his wife is a strong support for him. So this is really important. So if you want to really make an endeavor in Krishna consciousness and really want to do something for Srila Prabhupada, actually, the Grihastha ashram with a good supportive wife is absolutely the best thing. So, we've never known, you never know amongst women in our society who our daughters are going to be. They could be the next Devahuti, they could be the next Savitri or Draupadi, or who knows, you know. So, we have to really look for that. Also, we have to know that amongst the boys, if the women are raised properly, if the women raise their children properly, they could be the next Kadama Muni or great personality like that. So we have to keep that in mind. We just don't know who our children are going to be. And it's in this family sphere that we keep everything really balanced. Another great personality may appear. Another great individual will help spread Krishna consciousness. So, in this day, every girl should be given the opportunity to learn spirituality and also with a modern education to help her reach her full potential. That's absolutely there. In today's society, a person, when they first born, there is no hate in a small child. But they learn how to hate and discriminate. This is the thing that happens. And only later in life does a person learn the ways of liking one's own kind and hating or disliking anyone that is not the same as them. And as we've seen recently, the killing of individuals in Orlando, namely the people that are involved in the LGBTI community, you know, because they are different and because this madman had some crazy idea, he killed so many people and injured so many people. So this is the hate that's in the world. So what's needed is genuine spiritual knowledge as an alternative to change the society. And this mantle has been given to us. And I know I harp on this time and time again that we have to somehow or other develop a preaching movement. And this was the case more so in the earlier years, and we see nowadays that this outreach work is not happening as much as it used to. We have to actually be more all of us, male and females, have to be more outreaching to the broader community. We have to reach out to more people. We have this knowledge, this Vedic knowledge, and it's just not happening. And consequently, the world is full of terrorism and different things going on in the world. So we need to actually be really mindful of that. I wanted to bring that up, basically speaking, because in the past, within ISKCON, the ladies of our society were very much in the forefront, in that, as far as doing sankirtan, doing collections, outreaching, they were in the forefront. We could say that actually most of the funding, or a lot of the funding that actually made this temple, that we have this temple that we're sitting in now, was due to the dedication and the austerities of the women of our movement, the older women of our movement, who used to go out day after day collecting funds, hail, rain or shine, chased by police or chased by, you know, council people or whatever. They would go out and they would collect because they had such a desire and such a connection with Srila Prabhupada to fulfill his mission that they were out there. To the extent that, you know, ladies would even forego their children, you know, and that, like, I know for a fact that a lot of women, right up until maybe the last weeks of pregnancy, would be out collecting in the streets. And when the child was born, a couple of days later, they would be out again doing sankirtan. This was a commitment. This is not a joke. This is actually that happened. And sometimes, I guess, you know, there was a little bit of an imbalance there, and consequently, some of our children were, to a certain extent, neglected. And that had to be addressed. But the fervour and the dedication that the ladies had to actually push on this preaching is just amazing. So we have to... Prabhupada says that women can do their best and men can do their best for the service of Srila Prabhupada. So this year that we've got, this year is the year of the 50th anniversary. And this is the greatest opportunity, and this is what I specifically wanted to mention. This is the greatest opportunity for us to outreach. It is a focal point that we can actually direct people to this Krishna consciousness movement, male and females. And one of the ways that we've asked to do this is we were assigned a topic or a project to create a magazine that would be able to present Krishna consciousness to anybody out there in the big wide world. One of the things that we wanted to establish with this magazine wasn't that it was just a document that you gave through the temple, but that it was a document that could be given to a person that would have nothing else to do with Krishna consciousness. Hence, we put up the notices all around the temple about the magazine and how we're asking the congregation to actually distribute that magazine, to actually buy the magazine, and then go and distribute it. So I asked Member Services this week how many magazines we ordered. We've got something like 30,000 copies. And we asked I asked Member Services how many magazines have been distributed or how many magazines have been sold so far to our congregation. 90. I said, how many were sold this week? 30. So the point that I'm trying to make is that, and I mean, we saw such nice, the other, last Sunday, there was the Bhakti Shastri Awards given to so many devotees, learning so nicely this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. It's all well and good that you have this knowledge, but you have to give it out to someone as well. And when you give it out to someone, as I was making that example with that lady that I went to visit in Ocean Grove, even though I didn't want to, the return spiritually was far greater than the giving. So what I'm trying to emphasize is that we've set this magazine structure up so that you can purchase the magazine from the temple. It's not a big cost. Even if you commit yourself to saying, okay, I'll buy five a week, five magazines a week that I'm going to give to someone that who has never had any contact with Krishna consciousness. Understand that this philosophy, it will save their lives. Prabhupada actually said that even if a person touches a transcendental literature which explains Krishna consciousness, they will at least get a human birth in their next lifetime. So this is not different. This is information about Prabhupada, information about Krishna. So even if we give five, that's $10, right? I think everybody can afford $10 in a week, isn't it? It's not a big deal. And then you have to start thinking, where can I distribute those five to those people that have never, ever come in contact with Krishna consciousness? Are we afraid of our Krishna consciousness? We don't want to pass this knowledge on to someone? We shouldn't be. So find out, if we all collectively, there are so many devotees here, if all of us take up that challenge, we'll need another 30,000 magazines for distribution. And in this year, the 50th anniversary of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada bringing this knowledge to the West, this is our opportunity to do something really magnificent for Him. Now we can have festivals, we can have, our committee is working on different things that we can do to promote the 50th anniversary. We can have hall programs, we can invite dignitaries and all that kind of stuff, but the greatest power is if we can actually distribute this knowledge to people that will never come in contact with Krishna consciousness. That's the whole project. That's what we set this project up. This magazine is for that and that purpose only. So we'd like, and I really emphasize enough, I can't emphasize enough, the potency of this magazine. It's not that we work with a team of people. Has everybody seen that magazine? It just tells a person everything in a way that is so nice. Anybody that reads the magazine straight away has a good opinion of Krishna consciousness. So we're asking you, we're actually imploring you, please, somehow or another, take up this mission of distributing this magazine. Go out and preach. It's all well and good to get your Bhakti Shastri, your Bhakti Vaibhava, your Bhakti Vedanta. If you are not presenting this knowledge to other people, it is worthless. You've got a nice facility. You know, you've been saved. But there are other people that are out there that haven't been saved. You have to open your heart. You have to be more compassionate and really go out and help people by bringing the philosophy into their lives. And you'll see the changes in yourself, you'll get realizations yourself, and you'll actually benefit in so many different ways. I can't emphasize it enough. So I'm imploring you, I'm really asking you, go to member services, everybody make a commitment, you know, buy a certain quantity and do it on a regular basis and fulfill the full desire of Srila Prabhupada, that you get the knowledge, but you also disseminate the knowledge. There was one little girl one time when Prabhupada was there, you know, and the little girl, and Prabhupada said to the little girl, have you gone out and preached? And the little girl said, no, Prabhupada, I don't know enough. And he said, who's Krishna? No, he said, who's God? And the little girl goes, Krishna is God. There you go. You know the truth. Go out and preach. So this anyone can do this, you know, whether it's like you line up. You know, you see the Mormons, another spiritual organization that go door to door. Hello, we're just bringing the good news, you know. And they may be ridiculed, they may be whatever, but they do it. They have commitment. They have this fervor that they believe that the knowledge they've got is the right knowledge and they're going out. Hello, how difficult is it for us to actually say, okay, I'm lining up the next street down from my house, I don't know those people. I'm going to go and say, hi, I'm the local Hare Krishna. This is our 50th year. We're just giving away this free magazine. Would you like one? You'll find that the majority of people say, oh, thank you very much. They touch it, they read Hare Krishna, they've said the holy name of the Lord, they open the first page, they see Srila Prabhupada. Wow, what an amazing situation. Yeah, and, but what is it? Why are we reluctant to do that? Because someone will say no? What are they going to do? Snap your head off or something? No, it's not going to happen. They're going to stick the dogs on you, or, my God, there's a Hare Krishna at the door. Get out of here! No, it won't happen to you. You're safe. It's okay. Lord Chaitanya will protect you. Just go up to someone and say, hi, my dear friends. I live just around the corner. I'm a Hare Krishna. We have to be proud of who we are. We have to be proud of the knowledge that we've been given. Don't hide it in a bottle. Don't just think, you know, oh yeah, I've got it, folks. I know Lord Chaitanya is there and Jagannath and Radha Balabhar and I come and see my friends and we have lovely prasadam and we sing and dance and chant and everything. But then in the end we don't do anything. Let's present this philosophy. That's not what Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada took a leap. He took a leap of faith. He took the instructions. He was submissive to his spiritual master and he came on a boat with heart attacks and pain and suffering. Let's take on a little bit of pain for Prabhupada. Let's actually make a real difference and go and distribute just this magazine. Sometimes people say, well, if I go and distribute books, they won't understand it. It's a Hindu book, you know, well, they like it. Doesn't matter. And we thought, okay, well, that's fair enough. But this is not. This is a publication that anybody can appreciate. So I'm pushing it a bit, but I'm saying from a communications point of view, we have to outreach. We have to get out of our comfort zones. We have to go and do what Prabhupada wanted us to do. And it's just go and present this philosophy to as many people. People are suffering. And it can be the men and it can be the women. And quite frankly, the women have more shakti, as far as that's concerned, than the men. If a man comes rocking up, and I'm not saying that you rock up with a dhoti and a tilak and the whole thing when you're doing this. You can do it if you want to. We used to do it. People actually like it, you know. But you don't have to. If you want to wear Western clothes, that's fine. But generally, you know, when a man comes knocking on the door, people go, oh God, what are they going to do? Sell us more electricity things, you know, or some insurance policy or something. But if a lady comes to the door, oh yes, what would you like? You know? And you go in pairs, you know. I always, always talk to my Mormon friends when they come to the door. I figured, okay, you have done, you have made this endeavor. You've got out of your comfort zone and you're actually going around knocking on people's doors. In some aspect of God consciousness, the least I can do is give you a little bit of my time. And sometimes I invite them in and I explain about, well, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee, and we sit and we pray together. Great, no problem. It's the same Supreme Lord. So this is what's required. The result that you get, the feedback that you get, the actual spiritual emancipation that you'll get from actually doing preaching, second to none. You'll have so many realizations. Just like I had that realization this week when I met that lady. She was such a charming woman. She was so surrendered. And she said, I know why I'm suffering. I know because it's my karma. And you know, and she was unlike anybody else. And she had like a tiny bit of knowledge, vague knowledge, right? But she was content to sit there and let this whole episode of illness happen to her body because she had the understanding that this was something from my past life that I have to go through now. And I'll be better for it at the end and if I just stay spiritual now. So, and this was a feedback to me. It was a great realization. So I'm really asking you all and to ask your friends and relatives and family, please take on this mission. Really promote this. This is the 50th year. Let's do something really special for Srila Prabhupada. There are other things that are also going on. One of the things that we've decided, we wanted everybody to sell 50 books this year, right? Every single one of us sell a Prabhupada book. Look, the point is if you present this, you give this away, right? You've bought it, so you give this away. Now you'll have people saying, wow, this is really interesting. I've always wondered where the Hare Krishna's gone. You know, I don't see him anymore. You know, and because we're married and we've got families and we've got businesses, we're not out on the street as much as we used to be. I had one politician this week. I was at the Indian Museum and this politician was doing the rounds trying to promote himself for the elections that are coming up, and I was asked to meet him. So I met him, and he said, oh, you're a Hare Krishna. Gave him a magazine. He said, oh yeah, I remember the Hare Krishnas. When I was going to school and uni in Adelaide, he used to have a restaurant in Rundle Mall and he used to chant and dance. I like the Hare Krishnas. And he wasn't just saying that from a political point of view, so he took the magazine with relish. So the point is that people are out there and they're waiting for us to actually give them this knowledge. And it's for everyone. So I won't go on anymore about it, but if you can please just make the endeavour. Really lock it in for the rest of this year. Set up a program. Like even, I'm going to just, you know how long it would take you to distribute 5 of these? Maybe 10 minutes? Can you spare 10 minutes? The people that you will meet will blow you out. It will just boost your Krishna consciousness. Your rounds will be better. Your Gayatris will be better. You'll remember what you learned in Bhakti Shastri. All the verses will come back to you if you just go and do this. That's what I'm employing. Any comments or questions at all for Bruce? I'm not leaving until there's a question. How clear is it? Yeah? Okay, Aravind, what do you think could happen?
I'm going to go up and buy some books.
Great, thank you. Great. It's only $2 each. It's not a big deal. Has everybody read this? Take an opportunity to read it. They're all, you know, articles by senior devotees, and it's like a synopsis of Krishna consciousness. Take the time out to just, you know, like on Sunday, just skim through it so you know what you're presenting. But yeah, you'll find it's such a handy tool. And those people that are actually attracted to it, they'll straight away ask you, oh, can I have a Bhagavad Gita? You know, and then sell them a Bhagavad Gita. And that's one of your 50 that you have to do this year. So this is a pre-promotion. Also, if you have, you know, office, if you're working in the office, if you're in the clinic or something, have a couple of these laying around. If you're going to the dentist, you know, just say, can I leave a couple of these on your thing? Oh, yeah, no worries, leave them there. Or the health food store or wherever. So really open your mind. Where can I place these? You've bought them. They're a treasure. Give them out to people. This is, you know, Prabhupada gives that analogy of the panacea to a disease. You know, and you can either keep the panacea or the anecdote to yourself, or you can go out and give it to everybody. This is what you do with this. Any other comments or questions at all? Ladies, is that okay? As far as the mission is concerned? How do you react to this? Yes, Mataji, you can
say. I want to say, I didn't know that we are allowed to leave Guru Puja. Because when I came here first time, someone told me that we can't.
Who told you?
I can't remember, but...
Absolutely you can. You have just as much right as the man. Sometimes we have to make arrangements, you know, like... Sometimes people come here and say, why are the ladies staying at the back? Well, sometimes due to just sheer... coordination. If we all crowd at the front, it wouldn't, you know, and that's there. Similarly, some other people ask, why aren't the ladies chanting in the temple room here? You know, and we have to go up to Prabhupada's room or something. Again, it's a question of logistics. You can come in here and chant. There's no big deal. Prabhupada actually was very critical when the Brahmacharis used to say, Prabhupada, the women are chanting in the temple room. And he said, how do you see the women? He said, well, what do you mean? He said, do you see the women as your mother? And they said, yeah, we should see the women as our mother. So if you're sitting next to your mother and you're chanting Hare Krishna, is that disturbing you? He said, no. So they are your mothers. But for arrangements and because of volume, we split it up a bit and we also assist our Brahmachari brothers in that regard and also Brahmacharinis in that regard that we split it up. But generally speaking, you know, yeah, you absolutely. If you think you can lead Guru Puja, next time I'm here, if you want to lead Guru Puja, you lead it. Go for it. Okay? And you don't have to have a good voice or anything. It's, you know, and you probably have, but I haven't, but I still lead a kirtan. It's great. So, we're all brothers and sisters here, you know? And this point of submission is a thing that we have. There's another thing, you know, I mean, Aniruddha has mentioned this a couple of times. As far as submission is concerned, we have to be very mindful of the senior devotees. They are our senior teachers. So if anybody you see sometimes is senior to you, then you give them the right of way. Or you make arrangements for them. Always. Always take the humble attitude. Is that okay? Yes, Namaji.
In the class with the best, I make complain, but I just went through the first four and how is it like it's about that a woman shouldn't get like if she raising her children, she shouldn't get a second partner or something. But how do we take it like in today's society, you know, when it's like even in right. Amongst our community, you know, if a woman is there with kids, you know, and is it well seen if she gets a second partner, or is it
stealing? Ah, okay. Right. Yeah, it's different nowadays. You know, you mean like even if the husband has passed away, and yeah, no, it's different nowadays. It's an interesting point. Sometimes there's points within the Shastra that, you know, you have some personal conflict with. You know, I just can't understand why that is the case, but if a person is genuinely in need of a partner in life after the partner has passed away, that's what you're alluding to, correct? That to me seems quite normal, and that happens within Krishna consciousness, so I can't say that that's relevant. What they're basically saying is if you have a paramour, you know, someone outside, while you should be faithful to your husband type thing. I don't know, it's an interesting point. But in today's society, I can't say that that's a problem. You know what I mean? Especially within Krishna consciousness. Because we don't necessarily have our partners, our life partners, as just solely a sexual partner. We have our partner as a help in our Krishna consciousness to live a full and harmonious life. Right? So if by ourselves we find that difficult and we need someone to help us, then, you know, you seek someone of like mind to actually be with you. Does that make sense? That's what marriage is about. It's about both working together for your Krishna consciousness. You assist your partner, he assists you. That's what it's about. So I can't say that that's relevant. But in the broader community, if it's just for lust, then that's a different thing. Does that make sense? It's an interesting point. I understand where you're coming from. But in our society, you know, spirituality, or the growth of one's spiritual consciousness is the reason for marriage. That you help each other in your spiritual consciousness. And if your partner has passed away, then if you need that and you seek someone else, that's fine. Yes, Prabhu?
And just one more thing, because it is probably, if we don't feel there's a beautiful video in YouTube as well that was made by one English devotee. It's called Hare Krishna, 50 Years of Service and Joy. And it goes for 90 minutes. So yeah. I guess we all can put it in our Facebook. And, you know, it's a better,
yeah,
it's an easier way to approach people out there.
Yeah.
Just suggest people, oh, have a look at this video because it is just beautiful. It goes all around the world, yeah, talking about the communities, the funds, how the movement starts.
Very true.
Oh,
you've seen that one, right?
Yeah, yeah, like 5 minutes of this, like in all days, restaurants in Gold Coast, and that's so in the photos of the vegetarianism and that. It's called the Hare Krishna 50 Years of Service and Joy.
Yeah, we had it on the, we had it at the town hall. That's what we were showing there at that time. It's really great. I agree.
It's very modern, it's very fresh, so people don't feel it.
The presenter is a comedian, actually.
Yeah.
He's a Hare Krishna comedian. A really nice guy. It's well done.
It's very well done. Yeah.
Did The other thing is, I meant to tell you also, as far as women taking a lead, I asked Chaitanya Lila and Paya also to go to the locals' yoga day, international yoga day, and we needed some ladies to go and do, and also Philip went. They went to Parliament House. We were invited to Parliament House and they were doing this international yoga day. I forgot to tell you, I got feedback from Ted Baillieu. Ted Baillieu used to be the Premier of Victoria, right? And he rang me up, actually, and he said, "Hey, Bhakta, I missed you today. I thought you might have been at the International Yoga Day. I saw your devotees there, you know?" And he said, "Well, where were you?" I said, "Well, Ted, I look horrible in leotards doing yoga, so I wasn't there." But you see, he was appreciative that you guys were there, you know, and, you know, that's it. That was really an important thing. And again, you're leading the attack. The point is, you were there, right? And you were part of the community, but you're Hare Krishna devotees. And the result is, I get phone calls from a guy who was previously the Premier, appreciating the fact that you'd come. So this is the potency. Devotees are very potent. We're so charged with Srila Prabhupada's energy, with his Shakti, with the Parampara, with Krishna and Radha. We're there, you know. Don't underestimate yourself. You have that potency. You've got that whole power behind you. When you present the philosophy, it's not just you. It's like, wow. And you bowl people over. Yeah.
Something happened when we were there. Like, you know, you don't have to get there and start with Hare Krishna, you know, like.
Yeah.
But someone just saw us.
So we have to keep that positive energy and just really, you know, take it to heart. Become a soldier. Really get out there and promote Prabhupada's movement. That's the only solace for this society. Somebody told me the other day, you know, and this was outside of devotees, they said, "You know, if it wasn't for the Hare Krishna movement, this world would be a lot worse place." You think about that. Who was it?
I told you.
You told me. Italian. Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely a fact. If it wasn't for the Hare Krishna movement and the thing that Prabhupada brought to the West 50 years ago, it would be a much different place. Much more violent and horrible place. But now we have to really capitalize on it, really push it clearly. Is that all right? You okay, Manaji? You going to distribute some books? So, yeah? You can do it? You too, Manaji? You can do it? Come on, you can do it. Go for it. You will enjoy it. It may be tough in the beginning, but you'll absolutely enjoy it. Really. It's good fun. Jai, are you going to distribute some? Yeah? What about you, Prabhu? You going to do some?
I already did
five. Oh, you did. I'm talking to the guy behind you. Yeah? You can do it? You can afford $10, can't you?
Yeah.
$10 a week? Buy five? Distribute five. Okay? Thanks for this. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.